You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll remember a few nights back on this broadcast, we did a story, which was also on the website. A story of how the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia had been infiltrated by one William S. English, known in the ufology circles as Bill English, who claimed that he had been a captain in the Special Forces of the United States Army, had served in Vietnam under Special Forces, had worked for the National Security Agency, all kinds of things that in our investigation proved to be false. And we printed a story on it. Well, William English apparently didn't like that, to say the least. And he wrote a long rant. I mean a rant, folks. Tirade. Just vomited all over the place. And when he did, he hurt himself more than any story that we could have ever printed. Because anybody who reads this, who has ever served in the armed forces of the United States, knows just within a couple of paragraphs that this was not written by anyone who had ever been an officer in special forces in the United States Army, or any other branch of the military service for that matter. So, William English published this thing, and he posted it in public on the internet, and normally I don't pay any attention to the ravings of these kinds of people, ladies and gentlemen, but since all he's doing is repeating things that have been alleged for years and years and years, tonight I'm just going to dispense with all of it in one fell swoop, including Mr. William S. English. And so, please pay close attention, folks, and take notes. And if you need to, purchase this tape. Whenever you hear any of this crap again, deal with it. Because quite frankly, I'm very tired of people calling me or writing me to ask me if the most ridiculous things in the world are true. And so, tonight you're going to get my reply to the rant that was published by Mr. William S. English and all of the others who have used this same bullshit. And we're going to put it to rest once and for all. Maybe I should have done this years ago. I just hate to deal with the Looney Tunes sector of our society. Bring it on! So, William English, bring it on! I debated, ladies and gentlemen, how exactly I was going to do this. You see, I could just read his long diatribe and then read my reply, but then it would be disjointed, and you might not know or remember what he said and what I was replying. And so the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to read what he says, and I'm going to read my reply all the way through this thing. And there's 14 pages here, so it's probably going to take most of the broadcast. but I think it needs to be done. And you're going to hear William S. English, or Bill English's rant, exactly as it was received by us and exactly as it was posted in various places on the internet, except that all of the obscene, unbelievably obscene and vulgar language is going to be omitted. And if you read the same thing that you're going to hear tonight on the internet, you will see that it's been replaced with characters from the keyboard. And hopefully no one will be offended by his extremely offensive language. He does not ever, not ever, not once, anywhere through this, address the facts of his fraudulent military National Security Agency in Vietnam history. He has not produced any documents whatsoever to refute our research or the reply from the United States Army and the results that we have obtained from the United States Army, nor can he. And it is obvious, or will be obvious, to anyone who has ever served in the armed forces of the United States of America that the person who wrote I don't know what you'd call it, but you're going to hear it. William S. English could never have been a captain in the Special Forces of the United States Army or an officer in any other branch of service. He is absolutely and completely irrational. He is volcanically emotional. And apparently, ladies and gentlemen, if you can see the punctuation and the poor English used throughout all of this, apparently very uneducated. At least he did not attend college, let me put it that way. If he did, by some miracle, attend some college, it's obvious that he didn't learn much while he was there. And so here we go. I will tell you what he wrote, and then I will tell you when I'm answering it. And this is his first paragraph. Well, as usual, Bill, the obscenity, lying piece of obscenity, uneducated opportunistic and obscenity, has attempted to strike again, and as usual, his shots have fallen well below the mark. This is my reply. My shots must have hit exactly on the mark to elicit such a response, and when you finish hearing all that he has to say, you will see that he never addressed the primary facts in question, which means that not only was I on the mark, I hit the bullseye. William S. English begins not by addressing the facts of his fraudulent military and the National Security Agency history, or the fraud known as Project Blue Book Report Number 13, but with an unsubstantiated, obscene, name-calling rant. This is his next paragraph. Normally, I ignore this jerk because he repeats himself continually, thinking that if he tells the lies long enough and to enough people, it will suddenly and miraculously turn into the truth. And also because they had long ago decided that people were a lot smarter than he, Cooper, obviously thought they were. Guess I was wrong. But what the hell? According to him, God is an agent provocateur. And at one time, the Masons were responsible for UFOs, the New World Order, and all of the woes and troubles of the United States. And here is my reply. It is another unsubstantiated, name-calling rant. It contains at least two lies. Nowhere in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, my newspaper Veritas, my speeches, lectures, nor during any broadcast of the hour of the time, have I ever stated that God is an agent provocateur, or that the Freemasons were responsible for UFOs and all of the woes and troubles of the United States. If I said it, William S. English must produce the evidence, which of course he cannot do. The Freemasons are working toward world government and are responsible for many of the problems that we now face. I have proven that in hundreds of hours of broadcasts, writings, and articles, wherein I quote their own words from their official newspaper, The New Age, now called the Scottish Rite Journal, their official books and publications. Anyone can obtain tapes of any of my broadcasts and hear for themselves what it was that I actually said. Hear his next paragraph. I first met up with this clown in the later part of 1988 when my friend John O'Lear, son of William Lear of Learjet fame, introduced us. At that time, Mr. Cooper claimed to have viewed certain documents while in the Navy that proved the existence of UFOs and the government's involvement in a cover-up. Here's my reply. He starts out with more name-calling. I did not meet William S. English. I repeat, I did not ever meet William S. English in 1988, but in 1989 at the July MUFON conference in Las Vegas. I never laid eyes on him until that time. Never saw him before in my entire life. John Lear did not introduce us. William S. English called me on the phone in January 1989 at my home, which was at that time in Fullerton, California, and that was our introduction. He also sent me a letter dated June the 7th, 1989. That letter, verbatim, exactly as I received it, is included in the appendix of my book, Behold a Pale Horse. It is the only mention of William S. English in the entire book. Here's his next rant. In 1989, just prior to a conference sponsored by the Mutual UFO Network in Las Vegas, Nevada, where Cooper, myself, John Lear, and several others had been invited to speak, John released a report that he had fabricated with the intent of finding out who was going to make claim to having seen it. The report was, of course, false, and John knew that it was. My reply. The only document, to my knowledge, that John Lear put out prior to the MUFON conference in 1989 was his statement that aliens are eating us, which I did not then and do not now believe. Bill English is right that it is false. In fact, all so-called documents are allegations that extraterrestrials are visiting the Earth, mutilating cattle, abducting people, operating flying saucers, or interacting with the government are false, fake, frauds, including William S. English's Project Blue Book Report Number 13. Here's his next paragraph. At the time, I knew nothing of what was happening or going on, but apparently during a television interview, Cooper made the earth-shattering announcement that not only had he seen documents concerning government cover-ups while a chief petty officer in the Navy, but that he had specifically seen the documents that had been fabricated by John Lear and Grace while serving. Here's my reply. I have never, ever claimed to have been a chief petty officer at any time, anywhere, to anyone, whomsoever. I did not claim to have seen documents that had been written, fabricated, or forged by John Lear at any time while serving in the military or at any time anywhere to anyone. It is a lie. His next paragraph. When John called him on this fact, Cooper immediately began to attack John and claimed that John worked for the CIA and was an agent. My reply. John Olson Lear has worked as a pilot and agent for the Central Intelligence Agency for most of his adult life. John Lear flew for Air America in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. According to John Lear, his principal cargo was drugs and weapons. He told me and many others these facts personally, face to face, while visiting him at his home in Las Vegas. He showed us diaries, maps of his air routes, and bills of lading for cargo. John Lear has freely admitted these facts on many occasions to many, many people, not just me. John Lear is still flying, unless he has just resigned, for a Central Intelligence Agency proprietary air cargo airline and does not make any attempt whatsoever to hide that fact. He is open about it and very honest. Bill English's next paragraph. In point of fact, John, who is a record-holding pilot and has the rare distinction of holding every certification that the Federal Aviation Administration can bestow upon a pilot, did work for Air Americas during Vietnam as a pilot. He never was and is not now an agent of the CIA. and here is my reply. It is well known by all legitimate researchers and investigators that Air America is owned by the Central Intelligence Agency and is operated as a CIA proprietary company. All Central Intelligence Agency employees, all of them, every single one of them, are under a security oath and cannot disclose classified information of any type or kind whatsoever under any circumstances. All Central Intelligence Agency employees, by definition, are agents of the Central Intelligence Agency. Anything they may release as leaked classified information is an official CIA-sponsored act. Any release of genuine classified information without CIA sanction results in criminal investigation, arrest, trial, and if found guilty, imprisonment. As soon as I discovered that John Lear worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, I knew right then, that moment, that every single bit of information he claimed he was telling us, that he also claimed was top secret, was a deception and had to be ordered by his superiors in the Central Intelligence Agency. Here is English's next paragraph. Any more than Cooper is the Pope. At one point, in an effort to discredit John, he even went so far as to claim that several days prior to the conference, that John hired a hooker to come to his home while his wife and daughter were away and made it a point to let John's wife know this. Here is my answer. This incident did absolutely occur. There were at least three others present. A hooker named Tony, who was a partner with Bob Lazar in a Las Vegas brothel, arrived at Lear's home and visited with Lear in his bedroom for approximately 45 minutes. I have no idea what they were doing, nor have I ever ventured a guess. I and the others remained in John's office conversing. Before departing, she left some methamphetamine, which was manufactured by Bob Lazar, for John Lear to use. She asked us if we would like to have some. We all declined. I was deeply disturbed by John Lear's behavior. John Lear's wife and daughter were in Los Angeles at the time. I published the facts of this incident in my newsletter many months later. I never related it to John Lear's wife, and I did not ever send a copy to Lear or to his wife. If she ever found out about the incident, it was from someone else. I will not name the others who were present. It is up to them to come forward or to remain quiet. But suffice it to say, they were there, and I know exactly who they are. And if I am ever sued, I will name them and call them as witnesses, and they will then tell what they know or take a chance on being prosecuted for perjury. Bill English's next line. I have known John and his family for several years, and this is utter horse obscenity. My reply. Apparently you do not know him very well at all. In fact, you were only an acquaintance. You were not present during the incident, and you know nothing pro or con about it. You do, however, seem to know an awful lot about horse manure. Bill English's next line. John is so devoted to his family and to his wife that he makes a saint look like a philanderer. Here's my reply. Yeah. So is Clinton, at least while Hillary is present, or at least we think while Hillary is present. John Lear is very much like Clinton and has bragged to me openly and to many others about his conquests. I have no doubt that he loves his wife. In fact, I believe very sincerely that he is very deeply in love with his wife, but John Lear's father was a philanderer, and John Lear, by his own admission and behavior, is also a philanderer. Everyone who really knows him is well aware of his indiscretions, and I don't think he is going to like the fact that Bill English has forced these revelations once again into the public's eye. Bill English's next paragraph. In order to protect himself and his reputation, John immediately disassociated himself from Cooper and let everyone know that while he at one time supported Cooper's claims, that he could no longer do so. Cooper immediately went on the attack and hasn't let up since. My reply. None of that is true, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to this broadcast for many years. You have never heard me attack John Lear, ever, not once, not even slightly. I disassociated myself from John Lear the evening prior to the first day of the MUFON conference in July of 1989. I told John Lear and Bob Lazar at that meeting that I wanted nothing whatsoever to do with them or their lives from that point forward, and my wife Annie, who was not my wife at the time, was present at that meeting. Bill English's next paragraph. Shortly after the conference in Vegas, I received a call from a friend of mine wanting to know if I was all right. Cooper had called him, claiming that I had called him and told him that while on the drive back from Las Vegas, someone had tried to kill me and then had tried to blow up my home. My reply. I have never known any of William S. English's friends. Never. Not even one of them in my entire life, except for those people named in my reply here, whom I know that he was associated with. None of those people called me then. None of William S. English's friends were ever called by me because I could not have called any. I didn't know their phone numbers. I didn't know who they were. But William S. English did call me at my home while he was raving drunk or pretending to be drunk. He cried into the phone. He said that someone had tried to kill him on the drive home from Las Vegas. He related how someone had shot his trailer full of holes. And I'm not the only one he told that story to. He said that he was very scared. He was afraid. Not knowing if any of it was the truth, I advised him to get away from there. I told several people who called and asked me about William S. English of this phone call, stating to them that I was worried about Bill English. Apparently, William S. English was embarrassed by his own behavior. I know nothing about any of it other than what is contained in this short reply that I have just given the listening audience. Here's his next paragraph. I was astounded and set the record straight since I had flown to and from Las Vegas and no such event had taken place. Here's my reply. I have no idea how he went to or from Las Vegas. I only know what he told me. And here's his next paragraph. While in Las Vegas, so there's no confusion about what he said. This is William S. English's next paragraph. While in Las Vegas, I had made the acquaintance of Vicky Cooper, no relation to Billy Cooper, and Don Ecker. Vicky is the publisher-editor of a small but very reputable magazine called UFO Magazine, and Don Ecker was at that time a contributing editor and retired police officer. And here's my reply. Nothing, absolutely nothing called UFO Magazine can be reputable. Vicky Cooper, now Vicky Cooper Ecker, is an ex-prostitute who worked for the famous Washington, D.C. Mayflower madam, Sidney Biddle Barrows. Vicky Cooper was entrapped by the feds and turned state's evidence against her employer. Barrows, Sidney Biddle Barrows, you all know her as the Mayflower Madam, went to prison for several years and was very eager to tell us the truth about Vicky Cooper, whose uncle, by the way, that's Vicky Cooper's uncle, is associated with the Central Intelligence Agency and was the defense attorney for Sirhan Sirhan, the convicted murderer of Robert Kennedy. Are bells beginning to ring, ladies and gentlemen? Does this set anything to ticking in your head? Vicki Cooper, because she turned state's evidence, was let off the hook. She was given a large sum of money and told to go to Los Angeles and start a UFO magazine. Vicki Cooper knew absolutely nothing about UFOs, and Vicki Cooper cared absolutely nothing about UFOs. She was disgusted at the prospect and let everybody know. She was met at the airport by a man named Barry Taff. That's Barry Taff, a man she did not know, a man she had never seen before in her life. Barry Taff is an associate, or was an associate, of just recently deceased Dr. Louis Jolyon West. Dr. Louis Jolyon West, who was the head of the Neuropsychiatric Institute of the University of California at Los Angeles, and he was the number one top government mind control expert in the United States of America. Barry Taff located Vicki Cooper in an apartment directly below his in Los Angeles. Now, Vicki has stated to numerous people over and over and over again, many of whom we have interviewed and we have their statements on file. Two of them, in fact, are named and recorded in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Vicki has stated to numerous people on many occasions that the Central Intelligence Agency financed and controls her magazine, UFO Magazine, and that they control and finance all of the major figures in ufology. Donald Francis Ecker III was never in his life a police officer, never, not once. He never worked for or retired from any police force whatsoever at any time whatsoever. He never worked as a criminal investigator for the state of Idaho or any other state or government agency. Donald Francis Ecker III was never an Army officer, never worked in Army Intelligence G2, was never in Army Special Forces, never fought in Vietnam. Donald Francis Ecker III held the lowest ranked position as a prison guard at the Idaho State Prison. He never, ever received a promotion in all the time he was a prison guard. Donald Francis Ecker III quit to accept a position as narcotics deputy trainee with the Canyon County, Idaho Sheriff's Department. He never finished his training, and he never became a real deputy. Donald Francis Ecker III was fired for cause after repeated, not just once or twice, but repeated incidents of drunkenness, threatening patrons and bartenders with arrest in Canyon County bars. Out of a job, he returned to the Idaho State Prison once again as the lowest-ranked prison guard. While there, during a training exercise where he was supposed to have an empty weapon, he shot his own leg off, and that was the end of Donald Francis Ecker III's law enforcement career. He returned to being a drunk. Donald Francis Ecker III is a chronic alcoholic. He was awarded 3 DWIs, that's driving while intoxicated, traffic tickets, in the state of Idaho. He was awaiting trial on the 3rd ticket and would have gone to jail, as there is no lesser penalty in the state of Idaho for a 3rd DWI offense. During his wait for trial, Donald Francis Ecker III, during a drunken rage, beat his girlfriend very badly. She filed formal charges against him. Ecker, knowing he was going to prison, fled Idaho. He fled Idaho. He went to Los Angeles, and he took up with Vicki Cooper. He romanced her, and she made him the research director for UFO Magazine. They later married. For several years, ladies and gentlemen, there were 2 warrants outstanding for the arrest of Donald Francis Ecker III in the state of Idaho. One for assault and battery for the beating of his girlfriend, and the other for failure to appear for trial for his 3rd driving while intoxicated ticket. And here's Bill English's next sentence. He retired because of an accident at the rifle range that took his lower right leg off. And here's my reply. The Idaho State Prison officials state that Ecker shot his own leg off with a 12-gauge shotgun that was not supposed to be loaded during a training exercise. Donald Francis Ecker III did not ever retire. He did not have enough years on the job to qualify for any retirement benefits whatsoever. Here's English's next paragraph. Since then, Don and Vicki have married and continue to publish the magazine together. However, I started receiving a number of phone calls repeating the same story, so I called Vicki and Don and requested that they publish a small note in their magazine from me refuting the story that Cooper was sending all over the country. Here's my reply. I have absolutely no idea what he is talking about. I do not know the story to which he refers, nor do I care. It was not my story, because I have never done any such thing, not once, not ever, concerning Bill English or anyone else that's being discussed in this tirade. I do know that so-called reputable magazines do not publish notes on request from friends or readers refuting rumors or taking sides in what must have been some kind of a personal dispute. His next line. This, of course, immediately put me on old Slappy's obscenity list. My reply. I don't know who or what he is talking about. I don't know of anyone or anything named Old Slappy, and I have no such list. His next paragraph. About a year later, Vicki and Don did an expose on both Cooper and myself. While I don't necessarily agree with a lot that Vicki and Don had said in their magazine, I like to think of them as friends, and of course Cooper's claim that they are CIA agents are utter garbage also. My reply. Vicki is, without any doubt whatsoever, by her own admission, an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency. However, I have never accused Donald Francis Ecker of being an agent for anyone. I believe that Ecker is nothing more than a dupe and a complete fraud. Bill English's next paragraph. They, of course, tore Cooper apart, and they even chewed on my tail feathers a little bit. But my personal feeling was that if everyone in the world agreed with me, life would be extremely dull, so what the heck? Cooper, on the other hand, felt differently. My reply. Is this a joke? It must be a joke. No sane person, especially me, takes anything printed in any UFO publication, no matter what it is called or who publishes it, seriously. Not in your wildest dreams. UFO magazine is in the same class as the National Enquirer and the Weekly World News. I popped the ufology bubble when I proved it to be a hoax designed to create the perception of an external threat to this earth in order to promulgate one world government. That, ladies and gentlemen, terribly upset the ufologists like spraying water on a wasp's nest. And over the years, I have been repeatedly attacked, slandered, and libeled by these people, and it rolls off me like water off a duck's back. It must be a joke. His next paragraph. Within months of the incident, Cooper appeared on a radio show out of Orange County in California and repeated the story he had told about me. He still hasn't said what story he's talking about. This time he claimed that he had a tape recording of me telling him what had happened and that I was drunk when I called him. Not true, of course, but then he went on to say that he'd play the tape on the air if it were not for the fact that he might get in trouble. The radio station contacted me and asked for my comments. I got on the air and told Cooper that if he had a hair on his obscenity, I'd happily sign a release for him to play the tape on the air. But the only condition I had was that he play the tape directly from the radio station studio and not over the phone. This because I knew that if he played it over the phone, it could be distorted and he would claim that it was me. He agreed in his blustery, "I'm going to fix your obscenity" attitude. The following morning, I faxed a certified notarized relass to the radio station and to Cooper. That night, I was on the air waiting for Cooper to come and play his tape, and he never showed up. He also never did another interview on that particular radio station again. My reply. I know absolutely nothing about any of this rant. And while I might have been a guest on a couple of hundred broadcasts in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, and many other states, I cannot ever remember being a guest on any station in Orange County. I have never been a guest on any radio broadcast where Bill English was also a guest, or where he called in, or where he was called by the host. I never discussed Bill English on radio broadcasts. I never told any stories about Bill English. I need a drink of water. Excuse me, folks. In fact, let me play some music here while I take a drink of water and get this. Feels like velvet out of my throat. Was getting terribly dry. High in the mountains in the winter in Arizona, everything is dry, folks. Really dry. Here's Bill English's next paragraph. Here he's already ascended into heights of fabrication and fantasy, and here he just goes right off the planet altogether. Many of you live in Las Vegas, and you'll know that this is true, or this is my reply will be true. Let me put it that way. This is Bill English's claims here. Several months later, Cooper tied up with a fellow in Las Vegas by the name of Bill Myers. Bill Myers. Bill had a radio show that was syndicated all over the country at that time, and Bill Cooper somehow became his fair-haired child. Sounds like he's jealous more than anything. Somehow became his fair-haired child, appearing on the show several times a month. During a slow period, Cooper, in an effort to liven things up, began to tell this story he had concocted about again. And once again, he's never explained what story he's talking about, so I have no idea. Anyway, it goes on. He just repeats everything that he's been repeating, and he keeps saying that this guy, radio host, was Billy Myers, and so I'll just skip down a little bit. And if you want to read the whole thing, it's on the website. I'm just trying to keep from repeating the same old crap over and over and over again. Billy Myers had told him flat out that he wanted equal time. He agreed. I knew that Cooper was going to call into the show, thinking that Myers was on his side. So not only did I contact all of the individuals that Cooper had named during the broadcast, I got a statement from each of them. I also got copies of the unclassified sections of my 201 file and my DD-214. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely ridiculous. There's no such thing as a classified section of a DD-214. intact. There's nothing classified on a DD-214 of anyone's DD-214, never has been, never will be. He says, additionally, I also got copies of Bill Cooper's records, his DD-214, and a set of court-martial papers that were included with his discharge. I sent these documents to Billy Myers via UPS to make sure that he had them in time for the show. On the appointed night, I was on the air via a phone link, and just as I thought would happen, Cooper called in within a matter of minutes and was immediately put on the air. Of course, this time around, Cooper thought he had the upper hand. He repeated his story to include the naming of his so-called witnesses, and then he dared me to refute everything. I simply asked Billy Myers if he had received the package that I had sent to him. He said that he had, and I then asked him to open the package and read over the air the documents that were enclosed. Here's my reply, ladies and gentlemen. And for most of you, I don't even have to say it, but I will anyway. All of it is a fabrication, a complete fantasy. There has never in history, listen to me carefully, and if you don't believe me, you can call every radio station in Las Vegas and ask them. There has never, ever been a radio host in Las Vegas on any station named Billy Myers. Not ever in history. He created this guy out of thin air. Also, I have never in my life appeared on any syndicated radio broadcast whatsoever at any time whatsoever, except for one, East Coast Live with Alan Handelman. Now, I'm going to say that again. Billy Myers does not exist. There has never, ever been a radio host in Las Vegas on any station whatsoever named Billy Myers ever in history. And I have never appeared on any syndicated radio broadcast whatsoever at any time whatsoever, except for one, East Coast Live, with Alan Handelman. I have been on Alan's show many times. Not one thing that he said in that whole paragraph ever happened. And Billy Myers, to my knowledge, as a radio host in Las Vegas, and it's not just to my knowledge, it's a fact, ladies and I've already checked. I wouldn't make this statement if I hadn't. There has never in history been a radio host in Las Vegas named Billy Myers. Here's English's next paragraph. Myers read over the air my DD-214, the material from my 201 file, and then began reading the statements that I had gotten from all of the witnesses he had named, which refuted any claims that Cooper had said they made. Here's my reply. It is another fabrication. As I told you before, there has never been a Las Vegas radio host named Billy Myers, not ever in history. No such reading ever occurred. William S. English has never produced any page from his service record, nor has he produced a DD-214. The day he does, we will immediately send it to the United States Army for authentication. Here's his next paragraph. In addition, Billy read, now listen to this carefully, folks. In addition, Billy read Cooper's DD-214 and the court-martial and discharge papers which I had obtained via the Freedom of Information Act from the Military Records Depot in St. Louis, Missouri. My reply. Another complete fantasy fabrication. No such person exists as Billy Myers, and no such reading ever occurred. I was never court-martialed for any reason whatsoever at any time whatsoever, either during my service in the United States Air Force or while serving in the United States Navy. Never have I been court-martialed. I will be happy, ladies and gentlemen, to sign consent forms for anyone who wishes to obtain copies of my genuine Navy service record from the government. And on top of all of that, my service record is not now and has never been kept at any military records depot in St. Louis, Missouri. Next paragraph, written by Bill English. While Cooper did serve in the Navy, his records do not reflect that he held the job he claimed to have, instead being nothing more than a minor clerk. Here's my reply. Ladies and gentlemen, I was a first-class quartermaster, E6. Quartermasters are never clerks. Never. Quartermasters are never clerks. Quartermasters navigate ships. They navigate ships, operate boats, preside over the quarterdeck, supervise the bridge on all ships, supervise the chart room, maintain and correct all nautical charts, maintain and use all navigation equipment, keep the ship's log, preside over all naval functions and ceremonies, operate with signalmen, signals afloat, and supervise command centers. In addition, I personally was trained by the Office of Naval Security and Intelligence and held a secondary NEC, which means Naval Enlisted Code, of 9545, which is Internal Security Specialist. I was further trained for and specialized in Pacific Area Briefings. I served on the briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. I also served as the Petty Officer of the Watch in charge of the Command Center and operated the KL-47, which is a top-secret and sensitive compartmentalized information crypto-communications machine. I served as a harbor and river patrol boat captain in Vietnam for the Da Nang Harbor Patrol and at Qua Viet for the Dong Ha River Security Group. I was awarded 2 medals for my service, both with the V for Valor. Here's English's next paragraph. His court-martial papers showed that he had gone AWOL for 2 weeks from his ship in Honolulu on a drunk, and his discharge papers showed that he was discharged as unfit for military duty as a result of his alcoholism. Cooper hung up and never gave another interview on that radio show again. Here's my reply. The whole thing was a lie, and his imagined radio show never occurred. All of these facts are easy to check, ladies and gentlemen. I received an honorable discharge, on December the 11th, 1975, at Terminal Island Naval Station in San Francisco Bay. I was never court-martialed for any reason whatsoever, at any time whatsoever, either in the United States Air Force or the United States Navy. I never went AWOL in Honolulu, and I never went AWOL from any ship. Now, what I'm going to tell you now has always been public knowledge. It's in the appendix of my book, and any one of you who owns a copy of my book can open to the appendix, and you will find it. I did go AWOL for 8 days from the headquarters of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet at Makalapa, Hawaii. And it's not a ship, ladies and gentlemen, and I was not drunk. After having seen a document that claimed that members of the intelligence apparatus and Secret Service were responsible for President John F. Kennedy's assassination. Now, let me give that to you again. I did go AWOL for 8 days from Stink Pack Fleet at Makalapa, Hawaii, after having seen a document that claimed members of the intelligence apparatus and Secret Service were responsible for President John F. Kennedy's assassination. I was not drunk and was never accused of being drunk. I have never, ever in my entire life been diagnosed by anyone anywhere as an alcoholic. I worked during the entire 8 days AWOL as a diving instructor for Skin Diving Hawaii. My good friend Bob Swan, who also worked there, talked me into going back. His reasoning was that I would be no good to anyone in prison and someone someday would have to tell the American people what I had discovered. Bob Swan will be happy to testify to these facts. Many of you have met him and talked to him, and he's told you this right to your face. I happen to know that is a fact. I went to Captain's Mast and received an UCMJ Article 15 non-judicial punishment of a 6-month suspended bust. Ladies and gentlemen, that means nothing whatsoever happened. It was not a court-martial. It's what's called in the Navy captain's mast. You go see the commanding officer. He asks you if you have anything to say. In my case, I said, I have nothing to say, and I have no excuse, sir. And he awarded me an Article 15 non-judicial punishment of a 6 months suspended bus. That means nothing whatsoever happened to me. It is 6 months probation. Keep your nose clean, and the slate is wiped. All of these documents, every bit of it, ladies and gentlemen, is included in the appendix of my book, Behold a Pale Horse, available to anyone who wants to read it. I have never hidden any of these facts from anyone. You can read all about it from a copy of the official record on page number 385. All of these facts are very easy to discover for anyone who wants to look, and I will most happily sign any consent form that anyone needs to obtain the truth. If William S. English has any documents to the contrary, especially his fabricated and forged records of my DD-214 and are a court-martial which never took place, please, Mr. William S. English, bring them forth into the public so that we can then press charges against you for falsifying official government records, for libel, and for slander. And of course, he will not, because no such documents exist unless he did indeed fabricate and forge them, in which case he will not to keep from going to jail. If he does, we will promptly send them to the United States Navy for authentication so that the whole world can see who is telling the truth, and then we will bring charges against William S. English for his libel, slander, and for his forgery of official United States government documents. Please don't take my word for it, ladies and gentlemen. Check for yourself. Here's his next paragraph. About a year and a half later, Cooper conned someone into publishing his book, Behold a Pale of Horse Obscenity. Excuse me, Behold a Pale Horse. My reply. I was approached by Orion Swanson, owner of a publishing company, who wanted to publish my book if I would write one. I had already written one that only needed polish. She published Behold a Pale Horse. It still is and has been for the last 8 years the number one underground bestseller of all time. Sales increase every year without any advertising whatsoever. She is very, very happy she published the book. If you don't believe me, ask her. Here's English's next paragraph. In my book, Behold a Pale Horse. In it, he made the claim that John Lear, myself, and several others were operatives of the Central Intelligence Agency. I would have sued the hell out of him, but frankly, he didn't have anything, and it wasn't worth the effort. Besides, when you step into a pile of obscenity, you just scrape it off of your boot and keep on walking. My reply. John Lear and several others are CIA operatives without question. For example, John Lear has freely admitted it. Bruce Maccabee is of the Fund for UFO Research was subsequently discovered to have been giving the Central Intelligence Agency briefings on everything that was going on regarding the so-called ufology movement. Bud Hopkins was exposed by a medical doctor in New York City whom he tried to recruit as being a Central Intelligence Agency operative, and I could go on and on and on. These things have been made public in the meantime without any help from me, and I was right about every single person that I named. John Lear and several others, definitely without any doubt, are operatives of the Central Intelligence Agency. Most of them were later claimed either by their own admission or some public expose which brought it out into the open. But William S. English, and let me read to you what he claimed again. He said, in my book, I made the claim that John Lear, Bill English, and several others were operatives of the CIA. Now listen to this. William S. English, ladies and gentlemen, is never not once, personally mentioned by me in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. I repeat, this liar, William S. English, is not mentioned by me personally anywhere in my book. I did include a copy of the previously mentioned letter, which he sent to me through the mail, and is dated June the 7th, 1989. It may be found on pages 434 and 435. Nowhere, not on any page of Behold a Pale Horse, did I ever mention William S. English or accuse William S. English of anything whatsoever. Period. Check it for yourself. Most of you listening to this broadcast have a copy of my book, so you can very quickly see that this man really is, without any question, a liar. The man may be, in fact, mentally ill. And if he is, then I feel sorry for him. William S. English did not sue and will not ever sue because he is a liar and a complete fraud. It is true, however, as he claims, that he is probably an expert on manure. Here's his next paragraph. Although I don't discuss my involvement in UFO research very much these days, I am not ashamed of my work or research. I've had the honor and privilege to meet many interesting people, and in a small way, I like to think that I have contributed to the betterment of this research. I eventually left the field because of people like Cooper and the damage they were doing to a field that I felt deserved better than what they were giving it. My reply. William S. English left the so-called ufology field, if there is such a thing, because he was laughed out, ladies and gentlemen. So many people had proven him a liar that he ran for cover and until just recently has not emerged. We were absolutely shocked to find that someone had appointed him Lieutenant General in command of one half of the militia of the state of New Mexico. Here's his next paragraph. With regard to John Lear, Vicki Cooper Ecker, and Don Ecker, yes, I know them. And I am proud that I know them personally. While we may not agree on many levels, I have found all of them to be with honor, integrity, and just plain decent human beings. My reply. Except for John Lear, who is honest about his Central Intelligence Agency involvement, the rest are frauds, liars, propaganda artists, and proponents of the extraterrestrial threat scenario which is promoting world government. English's next paragraph. With regard to Major Grace, I have never met the man. As for being a CIA agent or working with the New World Order as an agent, here's my reply. I witnessed John Lear, John Grace, and William S. English deep in conversation at the MUFON conference in Las Vegas in 1989. It was clear that they knew each other very well. English, along with Lear and Grace, is an agent of the hoax known as the extraterrestrial threat designed to aid in bringing about one world government. I don't know where he got the CIA thing. I have never accused Bill English of being a member of the CIA, and he was never mentioned in my book. He probably got it the same place he saw his name in my book. In his head. Nutcase describes it perfectly. His next paragraph, Cooper, you, obscenity, 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 obscenity. Just for that, I should cut out your lungs and use them for water wings. Cooper has been making this claim now for over 10 years, and he still doesn't even mention what claim it is that I supposedly have been making. Here's my reply. Your threat, along with your other threats, has been delivered to local law enforcement agencies. Then his next one, if it's true, then the blankety-blank obscenity had better start sending me my check. My reply, he must be delusional. His next paragraph, to give all of the details concerning Cooper would take a book. Cooper is a colossal idiot and opportunist. Interestingly enough, he states in this message that UFOs and such are nothing but a hoax, Yet I point out that for several years he was claiming that he saw documents concerning government cover-ups and actually saw UFOs while assigned to a submarine in the Navy. Here's my reply. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know who listen to this broadcast, let me do something first that I've almost forgotten to do. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Another drink of water. Those of you who have listened to this broadcast for many, many years know that I have never claimed unidentified flying objects are a hoax. Never, not once. They are real, and people see them every day. Most are normal objects that, when seen at certain angles or from a distance, cannot be identified. Some are advanced technology belonging to the United States and other governments. I did see a UFO while assigned to the USS Tyru, SS-416, a submarine, in 1966. I did see documents while a member of the SINPAC Fleet Intelligence Briefing Team that are a part of the government's operation to create the perception that there is an extraterrestrial threat to this Earth in order to promulgate one world government. I have exposed this whole operation to be a hoax and the ufology movement to be a complete fraud. And for that, they hate my guts. His next statement, I don't even know how in the world he could make such a statement and think that he could stand with any credibility whatsoever. Here's what he says. He, meaning me, William Cooper, he never served on a submarine. And here's my reply. I served on the I just had to restart it, folks. I'm going to start over again. I served on the USS Tyru, SS-416, during 1966. This is in reply to his allegation that I never served on a submarine. Let me say this again. I served on the USS Tyru, SS-416, a submarine, during 1966. The sub was homeported at the submarine base Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. You can go to our web pages and see one of the appropriate pages from my real service record, along with a photograph of the USS Tyru, if you want to see some proof. You can also find copies of the pertinent pages of my official Navy service record on pages 384, 390, and 391 of Behold a Pale Horse that prove my submarine service. If anyone, I don't care who you are, if anyone would like to send to the Navy for further confirmation, I will be most happy to sign any consent forms which may be required. In addition, Bruce McAbee of the Fund for UFO Research investigated and confirmed my submarine service with the United States Navy aboard the USS Tyru, SS-416. Bill English, his next paragraph. For those who are interested, I have copies of everything ever written or published by Cooper on this subject and would be most happy to make them available to any who want to see them. My reply. For those who are interested, actually that's what he just wrote. My reply. You can find most of these forgeries, because that's what they are, at various places around the internet. Someone has taken great pains to take the works of others, to invent outright fiction, to mix these things up with some things that I actually did write, and to circulate them around in a dismally failed attempt to discredit me. And you can find most of these forgeries at various places around the internet. What I actually wrote and said can be found in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, in the tapes and videotapes of my lectures, speeches, and broadcasts. All other material attributed to me are frauds and forgeries.
English says this in the next paragraph. Let me give you fair warning about Cooper. If you think him to be your friend, don't believe it. He'll turn on you as quickly as he does everyone else. Most especially, if he thinks that you're going to catch him in a lie. His tactics are to go on the offensive and try to discredit you before you discredit him. If you are not careful, he will try to involve you in something that is either illegal or questionable, and then turn you into the law. He's done it before in California. All lies. If you're a friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, you will not find a more loyal, more faithful, or more generous friend in your whole life. If you do something that causes me to distrust you, I will sever our relationship immediately, simply for security for myself and more for my family. Anyone who is my friend, I must be able to trust. And barring some overt, terrible action, that is the only reason that I would ever separate myself from anyone. I have never in my life attempted to involve anyone in anything that is illegal or questionable, and I have never turned anyone into the law except someone who may have been a real criminal. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you see a criminal breaking into someone's home next door, you would certainly call the police, and so would I, and I have done that on a couple of occasions. But I have never, ever tried to involve anyone in something that is illegal or questionable, and I have never turned anyone into the law because of it. I have never done it anywhere. Never. And certainly not in California. Please, Mr. William S. English, furnish documentation for these outrageous allegations. I have never enticed anyone to do anything illegal or questionable, and no one has ever been or will be prosecuted because of me. Here's his next paragraph. He has also been known to stoop to such things as slashing tires of former business associates who have caught on to him and cut all ties. Here is my reply. I have never slashed any tires belonging to anyone ever. I was accused of this by Douglas Dean, who along with Michael Callan had stolen the master tapes of all my lectures. This entire incident is described completely in detail in my book. In an attempt to prevent me from recovering my master's, Dean slashed his own tires and then accused me. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Department at Camp Verde investigated and found that I had not done any such thing. Let me repeat this. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Department at Camp Verde, Arizona, investigated and found that I had not done any such thing. All of it is a matter of public record. And here's English's next paragraph. Also, folks, I've never tried to hide anything whatsoever. All of that incident is in my book. Here's his next statement. When the UFO community finally figured out that he was both a liar and opportunist and would have nothing more to do with him, he switched horses and decided to get involved with the militia movement, believing that he could con more people and gain support both he can't spell financially. In fact, I'm correcting most of his language as I go along so that you'll understand what he's saying. And gain support both financially and ego-wise. And here's my reply. When the ufologists discovered that I had revealed the whole thing to be a hoax designed to aid the formation of world government, they ranted and attacked me in unison, and still do, ladies and gentlemen. My stance has been from the very beginning that our freedoms are endangered by what is happening, including the ufology deception, and I have encouraged everyone with whom I have ever spoke to be involved in or form militias. In order to continue to bilk the public and promote world government, no such heresy can ever be allowed. And so they rail against me like you would not ever believe, unless you could be here in my shoes and be the recipient of the trash and the attacks and the attempts at character assassination and the lies, many of which you have heard in this vicious, despicable, and obscene attack published by William S. English as a result of himself being exposed as using a fake, phony, military, National Security Agency history. And here's what William English says in his next paragraph. As for my own involvement with the militia movement, I am an American above all other things. I became a member because I believe in the Constitution of the United States and of the state of New Mexico. I also believe that our freedoms are being stolen from us on a daily basis by a government that has become corrupt. I believe that if we are to protect what our forefathers created for us, we must stand together as American citizens and defend their gift to us as was originally intended. My reply: you are an agent provocateur and a monumental fraud. Produce a complete copy of your Army record so the New Mexico militia can send it to the United States Army for authentication. Put up or shut up. His next paragraph: I became the commander of the Southern Command of the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia because at the time there was no one else in my area willing to take on the task. Those who know me and have been involved with me know that I have attempted to be a voice of reason during times here in New Mexico when people were not sure of what they wanted and the rest of the nation's militia units were attempting to figure out what their agendas were going to be. My reply: you became the commander of the Southern Command of the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia because the commander of that militia is incompetent, and for no other reason. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this tirade of rants, raves, obscenities, and lies, listen to it again, get the tape, and then write me and tell me if William S. English constitutes, in anyone's wildest dreams, the voice of reason. His next paragraph: I know that someone is going to forward this to Bill Boy, so I am going to include the following. My reply: you sent it to me, William S. English. You attempted to do it anonymously, like all cowards, by email, but you were unable to change the routing codes. You changed your name and your email address, but you could not change the routing codes, and I sent a copy to your internet provider. His next paragraph: Bill, you, obscenity, obscenity, I can't help but look at you in complete amazement, only because I have never in my life seen such an anatomical freak, very badly misspelled, as yourself. In fact, I doubt seriously that anyone in this world has seen a human 6-foot-tall obscenity, obscenity, until you came along. I clipped your wings twice before, and if you continue, I'll do it again. My reply: more rants, more raves, more insanity. You haven't clipped anyone's wings. You seem to be seriously deluded. And like I have told you on many occasions, anytime you feel froggy, just jump. And the reason I've said that on many occasions to him, ladies and gentlemen, is because this man has delivered more threats to my door than probably anyone else other than, you know who, the stalker. You know who the stalker is, don't you? That's old Kirk, what's his name? His next paragraph: you are a liar and opportunist intent on taking the people to the cleaners at every opportunity. Like the UFO community, those involved in the militia movement will eventually catch on to you and your crap, and once again you will be ostracized. You are lower than a snake's obscenity, obscenity. My reply: More ranting, more raving, more name-calling, more threats. Boring. His next paragraph, I have a great deal of respect for all of those members of the militia movement within the United States. They are intelligent patriots who believe in our nation. My reply, oh, you are wise to respect us. His next paragraph, and one day, Bill, they are going to figure you out, and when they do, I'd suggest that you run for cover because they are going to be pissed. My reply, more rants, more raves, more threats, really boring. His next paragraph, by the way, Coop, not too long ago, listen to this, folks, listen to this. You've heard everything I've ever said since Princess Diana was killed in the car accident. Listen to this bold-faced lie. Here's what he says. By the way, Coop, not too long ago, you sent out some sort of story about how Her Majesty the Queen of England was coming after you because had evidence that Princess Diana's death was a major royal conspiracy. What happened? She gave up because you outfoxed her? My reply. William S. English, you must be a pathological liar. I have not ever written or stated such a story. I am not now and have never, ever been interested in Princess Diana's death. I have never written anything about Princess Diana's death. I did not do a show on Princess Diana's death. And whenever anybody has called in asking about Princess Diana's death, I have told them, I don't know and I don't care. Simple as that. Not that I don't care that someone died. I don't ever wish that on anyone. But folks, I don't believe there's any conspiracy, never have believed that there's any conspiracy connected with Princess Diana's death. Maybe possible, but I just don't believe it. I don't see it anywhere. His next paragraph. Now you obscenity, 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 sue me if you got the eggs for it, and let's see who comes out on top. Or shut your hole before I stick my boot into it. My reply, more name calling and more threats. Eggs? Hole? William English, you are delusional. You are in serious need of psychiatric help. Your so-called boot has never made an appearance anywhere near me. And don't you even think in your wildest dreams of trying it. If I'm not afraid of the Nazi jackbooted thugs of the Internal Revenue Service, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and of the entire United States corporate subversive government, what in your wildest dreams makes you think I would ever be afraid of an obscenity-spouting, deluded psycho liar like you? And he signs it William S. English, bill.english@nmex.com. That's bill.english@nmex.com. Lieutenant General Commander, Southern Command, New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia. My reply? Joke, right? And in his next sentence, he says, and there's a very offensive word there, proud of it. In fact, it's blasphemy. And I just simply said, your blasphemy is duly noted. Signed, William Cooper, harvest@harvest-trust.org. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. And I have just received, with that, a wild kiss from a rose.
There used to be a grain tower alone on the sea. Came the light on the dark. inside of me. Let remain a drum left high enough to hear. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become loud and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can bring you to a tearful of a rose on the tree. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it seems, yeah. And now that your rose is in bloom, I like it to bloom on the green. There is so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my faith, baby. To me, I'm like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me that I'm not too great? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become alive and the light that you shine can't be seen? Baby, I can bring you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it seems. I like it to bloom on the grave. There is so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You make my power, my pleasure, my pain. You are like a grown addiction that I can't deny.
Boy, I'm glad that's over. I hate to mess around with silly stuff like this, ladies and gentlemen, when there's so many other things that are so much more important that we need to be messing with. And that has always been my policy over the years, is just to ignore that kind of crap. But you see, there's a problem with it I've discovered. The stupid, ignorant sheeple out there, if I don't reply to it, actually believe that it's true. They never bother to check, and everything there is so easily checkable. It's all in the public record. Every single bit of it is available to anybody who wants to search for it. And there's something else about Bill English that really, really bothers me. Not too long ago, I received a phone call from a woman in Phoenix who also had the last name English. I'm not going to tell you her first name. Who told me that several years ago, her husband, an army captain, who was being transferred and was in fact on leave at the time, was in an automobile accident and was killed. And that a person on a motorcycle was one of the first people there, and she believes that he stole his briefcase. Her husband's briefcase with his military service record, his army service record, his medical record, and some other documents in that briefcase. This is what she told me over the telephone. I have never checked into it for the same reason, ladies and gentlemen. I have never cared about all this stuff. It doesn't mean anything to me. Until somebody like William S. English shows up as a lieutenant general in command of half of the militia of the state of New Mexico And then not only does it mean something to me, it becomes very dangerous to all those good men and women who are in the militia and believe that he is who he claims he is. So, with all of that out of the way, let's open the phones, and you can tell me whatever's on your mind or what you think about this. And whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about. 520-333-4578 is the number. That's 520-333-4578. After something like that, I really wish I could just go do something else. 520-333-4578, whatever you want to talk about. If you want to comment on what you just heard, or if you want to talk about something else. This trial of the President of the United States is coming up, and all of this so-called nonpartisanship is now disintegrating right in front of our very eyes, as we all knew it would. Well, somebody tried to call and then chickened out. 520-333-4578 is the number. Anyway, all this so-called nonpartisanship is disintegrating right in front of our eyes, as we knew that it would. It is impossible to have something as monumental as this in front of Congress without some extreme party politics taking place. The Democrats don't want to be mortally wounded by having their president evicted from the White House. And of course, the president came out today with his lawyers issuing a statement that that perjury and obstruction of justice are not high crimes or misdemeanors. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know what a misdemeanor is, and we all know what a felony is. The separation between the two is called high crimes. A felony is a high crime, and a misdemeanor is a lesser crime. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear from you.
Can you turn off your radio, please?
Yes, I'm going to do that right now. Okay.
I didn't call you. You called me.
Yeah. My prayers are with you because you're doing a great service to the American people. And I listen to you, and I listen to Chuck Carter during the day, and I listen to you at night. And you two people are just fantastic, great, bringing out a lot of things the American public needs to know about. And I love both of you a whole lot. And I've asked other people to hold you up in prayer, and along with Chuck Carter. And keep up the good work that you're doing. And I believe that President Clinton should be impeached. He is.
Well, he's already been impeached. Well, you know, we'll never believe it's really his headstone, will we?
No.
That'll probably be a lie, too. He'll probably be buried somewhere else.
I'll tell you a story about Bill Clinton. When I was out in California, I'm in North Carolina right now, I was out in California, and this company that made a different product using various bad chemicals, the California EPA came around and said, well, it's going to cost you $1 million, you know, fiberglass fabrication to clean up their work. And they shut the factory down. They moved it to Arkansas. Well, one of the top executives told me that they only had to pay Bill Clinton, who was governor, like $500,000, and they could do anything they want in Arkansas. And he was going to provide the work and the rest of it, you know, the people. And
yeah, but remember, that's hearsay.
Well,
that's something somebody told you that's called hearsay.
Yeah.
We cannot accept that as truth.
Well,
we can just accept it as a story.
This person, this is before Bill Clinton was elected president.
That doesn't matter. It's still hearsay. It's a story that you're relating that somebody else told you.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that it's not true. I'm just telling you that nobody can believe hearsay. That's why it's not allowed in court as testimony.
I know. I realize that. But the source that I got it from was a very reliable source. And he said, why pay California $1 million? You know, why do we have to do all the stuff for the EPA in California when we can go to Arkansas, pay the governor $500,000, and we can do anything we want?
Uh-huh. Well, there's no doubt that William Clinton is crooked as the day is long, and politics in Arkansas are as crooked as the day is long.
Yeah,
And most everywhere else, too.
How about all the surrounding deaths, the mysterious deaths that surround Bill Clinton?
Yeah, that's really something. I can't believe that that's gone ignored for so long.
The death count has gone up to 102 by now.
I ask a man who does nothing but statistics. That's his job. He's an actuary for an insurance company.
Yeah.
I asked him to figure the odds. I gave him the list. I said, figure the odds. Guess what he told me? He said, I can't figure the odds. These are off the chart. The odds against this happening are so high they can't be computed.
Yeah. What about...
There aren't numbers big enough, he said.
What about Vince Foster? You know, I mean, what about Ron Brown? And there's more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. What about selling our military secrets to the communist Chinese?
Oh, yeah, and selling a supercomputer to them and everything else, and it gets like $5 million kicked back under the table.
And military ports on our shores.
Unbelievable.
Okay, great. Well, let's get somebody else in here. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Appreciate your call. You too.
Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Let's hear from you. What have you got to say? I've heard that it's going to be snow on the ground here on Wednesday, and I know that in some places where people are listening to this broadcast, or maybe you're not because of the snow, that you're already getting a lot of snow. I'm not sure exactly where all those places are. Northwest, Northeast, Great Lakes, New England states, places like that, according to the weather map on the Weather Channel. And I hope everybody is staying warm enough and well enough. And, by the way, I wanted to tell you that on Wednesday night, we have a new Dr. Wallach tape that you've never heard before, that nobody's heard, none of you have heard it before. So if you're interested in Dr. Wallach and his recommendations on how you can improve your own personal health, make sure you're listening to this broadcast Wednesday night. We're going to play it. It was sent to Pooh, my daughter, by Dr. Wallach's wife for her to use on her Saturday morning broadcast, and I'm going to play it for all of you this Wednesday night, so make sure that you don't miss that show. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and we'll be waiting here for your call. Let me see what I've got here to go to. Let's do this for Doyle, because he just loves this. This is Doyle's favorite song. I don't know why, but it is.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside today. The music died. So bye bye, Miss America. Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of this hour, which is, I don't know, about 20 minutes.
Can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, because I saw you dancing in the gym. You
bought me a
selfish shoe, and I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage drunk and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Goes my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Now for 10 years, we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Mark, the quartet practiced in the park. And we sang dirges in the dark. Today the music died. We were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Help the shelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off to the fallout shelter. 8 miles high and falling fast. The land is brown on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sideline in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume while the sergeant played a marching tune. We all got up to dance. Marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was the deal today? The music died. We started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Jack, be quick. Jack, flash that on a candlestick. Cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born to hell could break that Satan's spell. And his flames climbed high into the night.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper. for a long time. First of all, I'd like to say that I thank you very, very much for the information that you've been giving out. I do have your book, and I find that it fills in a lot of things that I had been wondering about. One question that I really, really need answered, I've heard you say that on your show you like to have some people on CAGI, but you also said that anybody with a felony, you would not accept any information and you didn't want any members, and quote, that's the way it is.
No, that's not true. Not for CAGI. CAGI is just a news-gathering organization.
Well,
CAGI has nothing to do with the militia. And I don't make the rules for the militia.
Yeah, but what do you feel? In other words, does a person with a felony in their history, do they or do they not, according to the Second Amendment, have the right to have a firearm?
According to the Second Amendment, yes.
Uh-huh. What is your personal feeling on that, sir?
My personal feeling is what I just told you.
Okay.
The truth is that if you're a felon, a convicted felon, and you get caught with a firearm, you're going back to prison forever. I don't want to be responsible for putting somebody in that position. But I don't make the rules for the Second Continental Army of the Republic, which is the militia to which I belong. The commanding general makes the rules, and his rule is no convicted felon may be a part or may be a member of the Second Continental Army of the Republic for two reasons. One, it's not good for public relations. The media would portray us as a group of convicted felons, even if there was only one convicted felon out of 500,000 members. The second reason being is all militia members must have, own, and be ready and willing to use a firearm. You can't do that if you're a convicted felon. It's nothing personal against convicted felons.
Particular case, I was associated with something. But the thing is, what are we supposed to do? It's really going to hit the fan.
Yes, it is. But I can't tell you what to do because I can't give you advice that might put you in prison for the rest of your life, and I won't do it. You have to make those determinations for yourself.
So my thing was that if it is going to hit, and I have every belief that it is.
Oh, I can tell you right now, eventually there's going to be a war in this country.
Yes, and very, very, very soon, sir. I've been under the spraying. I got some of that on the 15th, and I've seen it personally. But the thing is, the militia is going to have to make up its mind, just like the SS did. They wanted blonde hair, blue eyes.
Let me say this again.
Yeah.
I don't make the rules. If and when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan and war is declared between the militias and the people of the United States, the citizens of the several states, and the despotic, unconstitutional, unlawful, and subversive corporate federal government, then who cares if you're a felon?
That was my point. In other words, basically, sooner or later, some of these people, especially the Larry Pratt and the Wayne Lafayette's, and I go to gun shows, yes I do, and the thing is, they want to lock me up and throw the key away. It's been 30 years since I've been into that, and they
Mark,
have a very, very hypocritical point of view, and my point was to just, sure, now you can jump on me, but when the going gets tough, you're going to want my help, and then all of a sudden, and I do have a great deal of help to offer.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that, but you got to understand that all this is bullshit.
Yes,
absolute bullshit. The Constitution does not make any specifications or any exemptions for convicted felons or anyone else. And there has to be a point where somebody's paid their dues.
Exactly.
If you paid your dues, then you should be considered to be just no different than any other citizen. Now, if you're a recidivist, in other words, you like to commit felonies and you like to hurt people over and over and over again, I'd be the first one to march up and take your gun away and slap you upside the head with it.
Well,
and that just happens to be the way it is.
The thing is, for about 15 years after I hit that little incident, I have been involved in security work. And if they ever caught me, they would have fired me out a number of times. But the thing is, I am a security specialist. I'm not an expert. Please don't give me that. But I am a security specialist in, like I say, 17 years worth of experience. I'm also a locksmith. And I'm also a pretty damn good shot, you know, from before. So the thing is, I'm willing to help, but it just, when I see Wayne Webb here, and I see Larry Pratt, and I see some of these sanctimonious NRA types who are willing to sell out a bunch of their own people.
Forget the NRA. The NRA is not on the side of the American militias. They're not on the side of freedom. They're not on the side of the Constitution or the Second Amendment, and they've sold us out so many times it's pathetic. Not only that, but they claim that the membership roster is sacrosanct and nobody ever gets to see it. That's baloney. They used to sell the entire membership roster for the NRA for $75. And how do you think you get all these offers to subscribe to gun magazines and stuff? They buy the NRA membership list. So the NRA membership list is in the hands of the United States government, and they know every single NRA member and probably what guns they have.
And the post office does as well, too, every time you get something in the mail. And my understanding is, from a relatively knowledgeable person, UPS is also CIA. But anyway, I do like you. I do think you're an honorable man. And I definitely wanted that question answered. Kurt Saxon would never answer that question. He shied away from it and whatever. And, yeah, I know. And,
well, you know, Kurt Saxon's agenda is not anything like ours.
No, I understand that. You know, the truth is a circle. And like I said, you know, I have been wanting to help you in a number of ways. In fact, I've been down to Knob Creek a couple of times. And every time I go, you know, I always take my Behold the Pale Horse book, and any time that I can get a hold of your frequency, because you do skip around a bit, I always bring that out, and I have been able to give out your the ISBN number on your book to numerous people at gun shows and at the, you know, the Knob Creek.
Wonderful.
And I've, you know, I travel. I've traveled to about 35 different states.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I meet somebody with a head screwed on straight, I always make it a point to give them that. I have been hugged a couple of times, and I've been thanked a whole bunch of times. And the thing that's really sad, though, is out of every 10 people or every 20 people that I talk to, most of these people just won't be, it's not that they can't, they will not listen, and they will not believe.
That's because they're afraid, and that's the most telling thing of all. When Americans are afraid to hear what somebody has to say, or they're afraid to read a book, that should tell them first, and it does, that's why they're afraid, and it should tell all the rest of us that things are really bad in this country. Because the Americans are scared to death of their own government. They're terrified.
Well, I've found this to be very true. You can tell it in their eyes. You know, at least I have a little bit of experience. You know, I put 7 years of hard time in. And, you know, like you have your life in your hands every single day in every way in a place like that. And, you know, you get to read people pretty good. And it scares me more, even when I caught them spraying on the 15th. And I saw those clouds coming with those cross hatches, you know, like when it came back over, you could see the straight lines, 20 and 30, right from those two contrails.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, they scared me, but it didn't scare me near as much as what I see in the eyes of people that I try to tell, I try to help. I try to tell them, you know, if nothing else, at least get a food supply and at least, you know, put away some arms and ammunition. Not that we're going to win. Unfortunately, Bill, I really don't think we're going to win.
Well, I'm not a defeatist. I don't care either way.
Well,
because I'm going to do my very best, and no one will ever fault me. And the ultimate freedom, if you stop and think about it, if you're at peace with God and you have a spiritual understanding, the ultimate freedom is death. So who cares? I will do what is right even unto death, no matter what. And whether we win or lose, I fought the good fight all the way, and that's the only thing that counts. Nothing else matters.
I have to agree with you, Bill. I've taken a pulse, and I tell you, it ain't very strong. And, you know, it is.
It may not be very strong in your area or in other areas. There are pockets in this country where it is so strong that you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how strong it is. And there are people whom no one knows anything about. and maybe have written them off as not being a part of the fight that will come out of their shell when necessary and will surprise everybody. And there are elements in the military forces that will come over to our side with all of their men and all of their equipment.
Well, that would be my wish. You know, one thing that I can't understand either is when I saw Bill Clinton take the oath, you know, for the president the second time, I saw they had a cloth placed over the Bible. And with all this quibbling, as you know in the Navy, quibbling, the man did not take the oath of office. He had a cloth over the Bible. I saw that, and I said, I can't believe that no one else saw that. And if he did that, all of these executive orders that he's done since would be null and void if he's not, in fact, our...
Well, they're null and void anyway. The Constitution does not give the president the power to write law. That rests solely with the Congress.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do, but I do thank you very, very much, sir. I don't respect too many people, unfortunately. It's just one of those things after years and years of, you know, being surprised and disappointed.
Welcome to the club.
But I especially liked your thing on the... on the 30th, I think I'm going to write and send for that tape. I hope you taped it. Would you just let it hang out? You know something?
Yeah, we taped it. We sure did.
I am so sick and tired of holding someone's hand. I'm so sick and tired of you know, when you get a baby, these people, you got to bring them along. You got to help them along. You can't dump this on them. Jesus, I mean, we're so far deep in the hole, we ain't never going to crawl out. It's about time somebody's picked them up, smacked them upside the head.
Well, I've been trying to do that for years.
I shook them two or three times or a dozen times and said, wake up, wake up, wake up, but they won't do it. But I did need to talk to you on that, and so therefore you wouldn't be adverse if I sent you a little something. I've even got some stuff from a newspaper. You know,
no, the only thing that I'm worried about is that I don't want you to end up in prison for the rest of your life because you picked up a gun and tried to help us before you could do it without having to worry about that.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
See, I have nothing whatsoever against convicted felons who have paid their dues. If you paid for it, and especially if you belong to the religion that I belong to, you have to be forgiving.
Well,
so I forgave you when you did it, and I further forgave you and welcomed you back when you paid your dues.
But
it's your responsibility to keep your nose clean.
Yeah, it's been many, many years since I got myself into a difficulty. The only thing is, I find an awful lot of people, I have to be honest with you, Bill, I'm not that, my aunt used to be exceedingly religious, and she was a lady, but I am not that religious myself. In fact, I'd probably be agnostic if nothing else at best, but I can appreciate your having a religion, and I'm very, very pleased that you do, and I wish that I could. I just have lost a whole lot more faith than I would like to have. But I would like to help people. I mean, as far as getting a gun, I mean, that's no big problem. I'm a lot...
No, that's why this is all bullshit. They're trying to say a convicted felon can't go into a sporting goods shop and purchase a gun. Anybody in this country, convicted felon or not, I don't care who they are, can get a gun anytime they want to, usually within a matter of an hour or two.
Bill, within an hour, I can make one out of a shop. It'll be just as deadly, if not deadlier, than what you've got in your...
I could too, but most people couldn't do that.
Well, I can.
But they could still get a gun. You could still get a gun. All this namby-pamby, baloney, hypocritical crap that flies around in this country is just beyond me how so-called intelligent people can stand for it.
Well, the funny thing is, I have met some people who have a great deal of technical expertise. And they could go rings around me. I have no college or whatever. But I tell you what, even though a person is very well instructed, that does not necessarily mean that he is very intelligent. He might be very well instructed in his mind, up to and including a doctor or a lawyer. But as far as a lick of common sense, most people don't have common sense, they don't have common courtesy, and they don't very well have common decency either.
No, but, and then they don't know how to use their brains, even if they have a lot of intelligence, they don't know the proper way to apply it. And that's called common sense. That's common sense. I've talked about that a lot on this broadcast. It seems to have just disappeared from this country. Listen, we're out of time, and I got to let you go.
Well, I just thank you very much, sir. And believe me, you know, you've helped me a great deal. And you keep up the good work, too.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
And thank you for calling. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. If you have not called to get your information pack on Dr. Wallach, call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager.
Stop.